A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to another episode of Two Jersey Jays. I'm Jackie Goldschneider.
I'm Jen Fessler. Hi, guys.
Hi. Okay. And Jen, I have a question for you.
Yes.
This term sounds kind of horrifying, but have you ever heard of invisible woman syndrome?
I have heard of it, but even if I hadn't heard of it, I think I would be just the title alone would clue me in to what it means. But please tell me the definition.
Invisible woman syndrome is a theory that when a woman reaches a certain age, usually when they go through menopause around age 50, the world stops seeing them. They become invisible. They stop excelling at the things that society says women are made for, which is beauty and raising children. And they therefore become invisible in society, yeah, in the workplace and in the media. And, you know, I have to say, I don't feel invisible, but I do feel at times like as I get older, I find it hard to figure out what my purpose is. When I was younger, I had all these big dreams. And now as I'm approaching 50, it does feel like things are limited.
Well, first, before I comment on invisible woman syndrome, in case you guys haven't guessed, our episode today is about aging. And we're talking about specifically because we happen to be women, we're talking about women and aging. Although I'd like to throw in a few thoughts that we have on differences between men and women aging, but I relate to what you're describing. And the most relatable part of it for me is the idea that women are not being looked at and in social situations, not so much in the workplace for me, but that feeling that I used to have where I was very noticeable, I guess, to men and to women. We are on reality television right now, so we do get noticed maybe in a different way, but let's say for me before Housewives, there is a difference now at age 55 than there was at age even 45 and 35. And I don't know if it's partly in my own mind or I just have become less relevant to society.
Well, you know, I think, can I just tell you this story? When I was in my 20s, I remember this so distinctly. It was like not a club, but it was like a bar with music and everything. And there was this group of older women. And they, when I say older women, they were like in their late 40s, maybe early 50s. And they were at the same place as us. And the song, Who Let the Dogs Out, came on. And one of the women had a leash with her. Okay. I guess it was her favorite song or something. She had a leash and she was swinging the leash and dancing her ass off to Who Let the Dogs Out. And I turned to my friend and I said, if I'm doing that when I'm 50 years old, please kill me. And I'll always remember that because I almost felt like this woman was too old to be having this much fun. Like, at that stage, calm the fuck down, sit down, like, enjoy your grandchildren. Like, I had all these distorted ideas of what life was supposed to be like. And I wonder now if when I go to, because I still love to have fun and I love to go out. And I wonder if 20-year-olds or young 30s are looking at me and saying, wow, go home. Go home to your family and live appropriately. Well, and it bothers me so much that I thought that.
Well, I want to delve into this later, but the good news about hitting middle age and getting older is that all of that doesn't matter as much as it used to. Like, what people are thinking and what people are, how people are judging you, all of that starts to sort of fall under the category of who gives a shit. But we're ahead of ourselves a little bit.
Let's talk about that later. I don't know about that. But I don't know. I feel like when I was younger, I really thought that 50 years old was old.
Well, I mean, the Golden Girls that we watched, right? They were representing old women in a Florida, you know, over 50 community. And we watched them and love them because they were older and yet they were still sassy. But I don't remember. I remember reading something about like their actual ages that they were supposed to be. And I'm older than that, except for the mother. What was her name? Not Claire,
Sophia.
Not Sophia. Right? Yes. I think she was probably supposed to be a little bit older, but like absolutely right in that range. Alice on the Brady Bunch. I think they said she was 45.
Right. And the way they depicted
them. 10 years older than Alice.
Right. But they were like, so what? They were supposed to be in their 70s, I guess. Right.
I don't know.
And all they did was sit around and eat cheesecake and like do old lady things. And I feel like that's why. Maybe that's why we think about getting older.
But 50 is not what it was, right? Like I said this, my business is sort of loosely based around the idea of ageism. So my heels that I make are for women who have reached a certain age and can no longer wear heels and still want to feel sexy. But we say, one of the things we talk about when we're promoting F major is that, you know, 50, this is not your mother's 50. And my mother did not look like I do at 50. That is not, I'm not, whatever, tooting my own horn. But she had access to so much that we have access to now. So physically, it's a different time, right? So we have access to everything from Botox to fillers to hair extensions and keratin and all the BS and the surgeries and the acrylic, all things that really our mothers didn't have access to, personal trainers, different ways to exercise. So I don't think 50 looks like it used to look.
Right. And I think that's a problem. So you take these women who people say defy age, right? Like Jennifer Lopez or Kate Beckinsale. Both, you know, Kate Beckinsale is 50, I think. Jennifer Lopez a few years past that. And they're freaking gorgeous. They look very young, and we do have access to all this stuff. So I feel like it's almost like you fell apart if you don't do it, right? And that's not true, but
I don't think that I think it's great that we have access to these things. Whether or not you decide to use them is of course your own decision. But I love that I don't look like my mother and my grandmother did at 50, that I have pools that they didn't have. For better
too.
Or for worse, I'm grateful for that. But unrealistic expectations now that come along with aging, I think they're way bigger, those expectations, than they used to be. Like
when you see a woman with enough money to get Botox who chooses not to, don't you think to yourself, well, why would you walk around with all those lines on your face? Like Lisa Barlow famously on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City doesn't get Botox. She says she likes her face natural. And I think she's stunning. But I always think, like, why wouldn't you get Botox?
Well, you're asking the wrong girl. I've been getting Botox since Botox was a thing. So I can't really answer that question. I think, though, how glorious it must be to be a woman who really is embracing age and doesn't give a shit. I'm not one of those women. But I do like Justine Bateman. So, right? So she's come out recently. She doesn't wear makeup and she doesn't color her hair. And she is completely embrace that, like Pamela Anderson. Like, these are women that are saying, you know, fuck all of you. This is what 50 something or however the old they are looks like. I think I'm beautiful. That's all that matters. And God bless them. Fabulous.
Yeah, God
news.
Bless them, but they get torn apart in the media. Well, not so much Pamela Anderson, but Justine Bateman, she got destroyed in the media.
It made her more likable for me, even though I have.
Yeah, I like
her. I'm not that person. I have no interest in letting my hair go gray and letting my wrinkles get wrinklier, but I definitely felt this affinity towards her. Like, cool, man, like, look at you doing you. And not making excuses for it, right? You know how much time I would save if I just didn't give a shit about my looks? How much time?
So this is what Pam Anderson said on today.com. She said, I'm much more comfortable in my own skin, but I'm also in an industry that really focuses on beauty. And I thought, I'm going to challenge beauty. I think challenging ourselves is what keeps us young and beautiful. And I think really genuinely, beauty does come from within and you don't have to play the game. So I love that. But then again, she is Pam Anderson and she looks like Pam Anderson. So, I mean, like maybe when you're Pam Anderson, you could do that. But when I wake up and I have no makeup on, I am not showing my face to the world. But I do think that it is kind of like yesterday I heard this guy in his, I think he's in his early 30s, and somebody asked him if he had a celebrity crush, and he said, it'll always be Jennifer Aniston. And I love that. And then he followed it by saying, she's simply ageless. And I thought, like, why can't she just be Jennifer Aniston? Like, why what would happen if she did look, you know, 50 something?
Well, let's turn that around for a minute, okay? So I could tell you that whatever man I was in love with as a younger woman, when they're 110, I'm going to still love them. I'm going to still feel attracted to them. And I can tell you that because I can look at men like, I don't know, the Clint Eastwoods of the world. Even like, and I know he just had a baby and that's a whole other subject and weird or whatever, but Robert De Niro, I think he is so sexy. Yeah. I do.
Oh, boy. No, not I.
I just think it's different. I think that it's different. I don't have that, like, you know, okay, let's do someone simpler. How about a George Clooney?
Yeah, he's gorgeous.
He's gorgeous. How old is he?
He's gorgeous, but I don't think men compare themselves to, like, George Clooney and Brad Pitt. They're in their 50s.
No, I know, but the point being that, like, this guy said Jennifer Aniston is ageless. I don't care if George Clooney is ageless, aging, over the hill, under the hill.
But you wouldn't follow
it up. Shit.
What I'm saying is you wouldn't say, I love George Clooney, even at his age now.
I know. It's different for men, of course.
You wouldn't even think to say that. It is very different for men.
It is different.
And, like, the fact that Robert De Niro and Al Pacino could have a baby in their 80s, I don't think, I'm just going to be honest, like, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
It's wackadoo.
I think it's horrible. I mean, there's something about, like, life is not guaranteed for anybody, right? But having a child when you know you're not going to live more than, like, I mean, yes, there are outliers who live
into
their hundreds, but come on. I think it's an ego thing. I think it's horrible. I don't think you should be having a child in your 80s. I just don't.
I agree.
You know, it is different for men. I think, you know, the midlife crisis for a woman and a man are very different. So for a man, they say, you know, research shows that a man's midlife crisis is triggered by a feeling of being trapped in their life. And that's why
it's about mortality for men.
Right. But that's why you get these men who are trying to move backwards by, like, getting a fast
motorcycles
car,
and
or dyeing
and
their hair
younger women
or doing something crazy, right?
Nobody likes getting sick. You know your body and you know it's happening. You wake up with a sore throat and low-grade fever. Ugh.
So what are your choices? Get sicker and miss work? Then hope to see a doctor this week or head to an urgent care? Wait 2 hours and sit in a room full of sick people?
Nope, not me. I have a smarter option, my medical emergency kit.
When you get your own medical emergency kit, you just match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription in your kit. No waiting to see the doctor. You get well faster.
This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home.
It includes doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues like COVID, strep throat, pneumonia, all kinds of infections, including UTIs, and many more. Plus a doctor's guide so you'll know exactly which med to take and how.
Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. You can order yours online in minutes, and your kit will be rushed to your door.
And for Jersey J's listeners, we've got a special offer for you. Get 15% off at twc.health/jersey and use promo code Jersey. That's promo code Jersey at twc.health/jersey.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlan, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I actually hold my friends. And when I say I pulled my friends, I pulled a lot of my friends going into this episode. And I want to say I talked to maybe 20 women and I asked them all the same question. And Jack, I'll ask it to you, but without overthinking it, okay, just give me a sentence. What do you feel like is the best part of aging?
Aside from the fact that I do appreciate that I'm healthy and have a healthy family and everything, and that aging is not, you know, it's a gift. What do I appreciate about it? I have to be honest, I don't love too much about it. But what I do love is the feeling of, I feel less pressure to be a people pleaser. I say no to more things that I authentically don't want to do.
Yep.
And I cut people out of my life that I don't feel good being around. And that's been especially in the past 2 years. I've chosen to surround myself only with the people that I enjoy being around.
So,
and that includes, sadly, that included my sister, too. I stopped. I really stopped. I used to try hard with her, but not hard, but like check in every once in a while and see if maybe she wanted to talk. I've stopped.
Well, so I will tell you that unanimously, I'm not making this up. I have my little journal here and I called about 20 women and wrote down exactly what they said. I said, just give me a sentence. And I could read you when I said the best part of aging, they almost said it in the exact same way. The best, I'm just going to read different ones. Don't fucking care anymore. The best, not giving a shit. The best, not having my period and not giving a shit. Not caring about what others think. Not giving a shit and being more confident. I mean, it was just over and over again. And it was the ability also to say no and not caring about what was going to come back at you. And it's funny because I was thinking, I have a funny story about that myself. Because for me, that's the best part of getting older is I still struggle with people pleasing. Having said that, it's way better than it was when I was younger. And for instance, so I have a friend and we had plans to go out on a Thursday night. This is going back, I don't know, a couple of years. And another one of our friends got wind of it. And she at the time was going out with someone that night, coincidentally. So there were four of us going out that night. So my third friend, so if, you know, I'm going out with one person and there are two others. So said, well, you know, guys, let's just put ourselves in the same reservation. We'll all go out together, the four of us. And I said, no, uh-uh. And we were on sort of like a thread without the fourth person. But the fourth person, lovely woman, was not a good friend of mine. And it was going to change the whole dynamic of that Thursday night going out and being amongst like someone that I felt really comfortable with and sharing what's going on with me. And I didn't want for that dynamic to switch. It was a Thursday night. Knowing me, I probably didn't want to go out anyway. So I said, no, that's not going to work. And my friend said back, what do you mean? What do you mean no? And I said, no. And so it just kept like, what are you talking about? Why not? We're all going out. I said, because I don't want to. And he's like, what do you mean? Why are you being like this? I said, well, if you want, I'll make up a lie. Okay. I don't feel good. Would you like me to lie to you? I don't want to. I'd rather just go out with me and this one person, or with me and this one person and you. This other person who's a lovely woman changes the dynamic of the night, and I don't want to do it. And I know it may sound like a silly story, but it was so everything for me. Because like, I'm not making excuses. Why? I don't wanna. That's why. And at 55 years old, I can say, no, I don't wanna, and not have to make excuses for it. That's enough. My mom always says, no is not a four-letter word. That's part of like the not giving a shit thing. I mean, there are so many pieces of not giving a shit that are so satisfactory, that it gives so much satisfaction. But like when I was younger, I just would have never been able to do that. No, because I said no, that's why. And that is definitely that has come with age, right?
That is the best part, because you, when you say no to things, like when I used to be like, well, what if am I going to not get invited to this thing next time? Right. Or this one's going to be mad at me. Now you know that, like, first of all, no one's thinking about you as much as you're thinking about you. But also like, it just, life is short and you know that. Like, you become aware of the fact that people around you are unhappy or they get sick or they lose people. And like, you know that life is short and you have this like clarity. But I don't know that I buy all of these women who say that they don't care what people think of them anymore.
Well, I mean, there are degrees of it. You know, it's not like you never, ever care. But it's so much better than it used to be. I mean, that's right. That's the beauty of age and wisdom.
Well, then why are all these
better
middle-aged women on Ozempic? Not to go back to that, but I mean, it is omnipresent. So like,
I don't see,
if all these people don't care, then why are they all like drastically changing their bodies right now?
But I don't think, I'm not saying that, well, okay, so great. Remembering what you just said and what you just asked me, I'm going to ask you, what's the worst thing for you about aging?
The worst thing?
A quick sentence. Don't get like,
I mean,
even too.
I don't love that, like, my face looks older every day.
So unanimously, all the friends, I could go back and tell you the best thing was
I'm not claiming that I don't care what people think of my looks.
No, wait, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is not giving a shit about what people think is not the same as not caring, as not liking the physical changes that come along with aging. So what that means is that I want to look great. It's not about everybody else like it used to be. It's not because I want to catch a husband or I want to be the pretty girl. It's that I want to look in the mirror and like what I see and still feel sexy. So I don't think they're mutually exclusive, right? Like, you can not give a shit anymore and still feel badly about your body and your face aging. And I'm telling you that was the unanimous answer. That's what I got from like over 20 women. It was really almost bizarre. So I think that It's great, a Justine Bateman, a Pamela Anderson, like God bless them, good for them. But I think for the most part, the part of aging that is so hard for us is the physicality of it, right? That part of us that the first time I saw gray hair on my vagina, that was a tragic day, okay? Now that's not necessarily about like, you know, what I look like. Not many people were seeing that. Not many people would want to, but my point is like just knowing that my body is getting older.
I know. There are times when I stare in the mirror and I'll like use my fingers, my like middle fingers to like pick up certain parts of my face. Like,
oh, yeah.
I look and I wonder like what fell on my face that makes me look 30 years older than I was at 20. Right. Yeah. And I'll like pick things up and that little lift will make me look so much younger. And then I have to drop it again.
And you it's know? About acceptance, right? Because my friends will say, no one understands why their knees look the way they do. So I have, that's sort of like the topic recently is that everybody's legs having a lot to do with the people that are on Ozempic, but your skin starts to sag. But even, let's put Ozempic aside for a minute. As you get older, your skin starts to sag and your knees, Jack, I don't know if this has happened to you, but they just sort of fold, skin folds over itself on your knees. And so there's a lot of like, why? So like, what is happening? Why are my knees doing? Here's the answer. Because you're old. Because we're getting old.
It's like, funny that you say that. There was this woman once and I had a conversation. This was like 10 years ago. It was a camp drop-off and I was with someone to pick up my campers when my kids were little. And there was a counselor and I said to my friend, how old do you think she is? And she said, 50s. And I said, no, she looks so young. She looks so pretty. And maybe in her 30s. And she said, no, look at her knees. And I looked at her knees and I was like, oh, you're right. And I never thought about like people's knees before, but you could tell by the other parts of your body. Why does that happen to other women on Ozempic? Your skin folds faster?
You lose muscle unless you don't, unless you're very diligent about it, you can lose muscle. So the skin, it starts to wrinkle and hang. So, you know, for some women, that in and of itself is a reason not to use Ozempic, but it never stopped me.
No, I mean, I can't say that. I mean, I'm so lucky, you know, to be aging with a healthy family and with a lot of support. But I don't think it's, I don't love it. I don't love getting older. I really don't.
Listen, I used to say, and my mother used to make fun of me because I would say all the time, like, I don't mind getting older. I'm excited to hit 40. I'm excited to hit 45. And she was like, well, Jen, you're just going to be ecstatic then when you hit 80. Just like, hold your breath. It'll be here soon, Jen. But I really did used to say that. And I think part of that was because my 20s were so riddled with insecurity. And maybe that was the best I ever looked physically, maybe my 30s, but it was mentally, it didn't matter. It was a misery. And I am so much more not only self-confident, aware of who I am, happy in my skin. And those are the gifts that come with aging, right? Unfortunately, you wish that you knew then what you know now. The ideal, right, would be to be like, look like I was 20, but still be me at 55. Then I could take on the world.
God, I remember I used to always dread what other people that were older than me were going, like only a few years older, but what they were doing. And I used to say, like, for example, when my kids were in elementary school and people would graduate out of the elementary school and their last kid would graduate fifth grade, I used to say, thank God I have kids that are still at elementary school. I'm still young. My kids are still babies. And then it was suddenly I had no kids at elementary school. Then it was the bar mitzvah years. Thank God it's not my kids yet. You know, they all have teenagers. I still have little kids. Then I was there and now all my friends are doing college admissions. And like now I'm in this phase of like, oh, thank God I'm not at the college admission phase yet. And then I know soon enough, like I'm going to be there also. And it's just, you know, I get scared. I get scared of getting older because my kids give me so much purpose. And I know that no matter what happens in my career, listen, this show that we're on, that can go away at any moment. And that has to end sometime for everybody, right? I mean, you're not going to be on The Housewives forever. So that kind of like explosion of relevancy, that's going to go away. And no matter what happens in your life, you know that like raising your kids is, you know, that gives you purpose. You know, they'll only have one mother. So I get nervous about them getting older and independent with and not needing me.
So this is a great a great sort of segue into the whole empty nesting thing in terms of aging and women. And I don't feel like you do. And I didn't feel like you do in the sense that, well, first of all, I love being an empty nester. So oh, I love it. Fear. Oh my God. Now, and I don't know, sometimes I feel like sometimes that what you just said is part of it. Like you feel like the kids make you relevant and
yeah, I relevant. And like, they give me so much to do and watching them and like molding them and guiding them.
Well, of course,
them,
but
like,
all of us, listen, this doesn't mean, it's funny because when I would send my kids to sleepaway camp in my town, that was always the Jewish women that did that and the non-Jewish women didn't. And it would feel like the non-Jewish women, maybe it was in my head or the heads of my friends, but they were judgmental about it. Like, how could you send your kids away? I'm not buy into this, like, you love your kids more because you keep them home. Or if you're walking by their bedroom after they've left for college and crying, that means that you must really love your kids. When kids come out of you or when they become yours and you become a mother, we all love them, maybe not the same way, but that level of love is like nothing else. And being a mother, no matter if I like my time or loved my time in the summer when my kids were away, knowing that they were having the time of their life, you know, that didn't make me any more or less of a loving, doting mother. And I will tell you that in terms of like, I love empty nesting. The truth is I love being alone. So there's that. I way prefer Jeff to go into the office, but whatever. I'll talk to my shrink about that on Thursday. But anyway, but the point is that like, I have no qualms. As long as they're happy and I know they're away and they are living their best life, when my kids are unhappy, either one of them, then everything sort of stops, right? Dead in its tracks, and I become mama bear and I can't, you know, enjoy myself. And that's, you know, it's a very difficult thing because if they're suffering as mothers, I think that we suffer. But in terms of being in my house, I never was crying, walking by their bedrooms. They come home a lot. And when they do, and the house gets to be a mess, and, you know, there are other people's needs, and I'm 55, and I sort of really enjoy just attending to my own needs and Jeff's needs. And I don't know, it is so fabulous and freeing. I think, though, part of that is because I have so much going on, and I have reinvented myself a bit, right? When I turned 50, I started a business. When I turned 53, I became a friend of a housewife. Maybe without that, I wouldn't feel so fulfilled and so at ease with having my nest be empty. But, you know, as much as there's no one I love more than I love those two people and my husband. But having said that, I'm good. Like, I'm very, very happy to walk around my house, to have it be everything is neat and I have stuff to do and there's nobody asking me what's for dinner. As long as they're good, I'm loving that aspect of getting older.
I really hope that I am like that because I really do. I'm afraid of it. My house right now is very full. It's very busy. Listen, I had my children so close together because of my fertility issues. I ended up having 4 children in 3 years. So, I brought home my infants when my older ones were 2.5. So I had 4 kids in diapers for a while, for a good 6 months. I would change 32 diapers a day. It was wild. But, you know, I have a very full, busy house, and I feel like because they are so close in age, I'm going to lose everything within a matter of a few years. You know, not lose everything, but like, it's just going to go from like bustling to quiet. And I'm really scared. I am scared of that. I don't know how
I know.
I'll
I have a lot of friends and a lot of family members who feel like that.
Yeah.
What were you going to say,
I'm
Jeff?
I'm scared of it. But no, I was going to say, unlike you, like my big, you know, explosion in career, and of course, I don't know what's going to happen in the future and I have big dreams and everything, but my big explosion of career came when my kids were still small, you know? So, so I don't know
but
what's going to be.
But let's put career
me,
aside, though, yeah. even without career, because without everything that's gone down, the business, the housewives, the podcast. I mean, I feel very blessed by, you know, all the things that I have going on right now and that I would not have been able to manage when the kids were little. But even without all of that, I never found myself, even when the kids were at sleepaway camp, I was never bored, really. And I know a lot of women do get bored without that purpose of like having the kids around, getting them to sports practice, getting dinner on the table. I never felt really bored. I can occupy myself very easily. I'm lucky in that way. I'm unlucky in a lot of ways, but that's I don't never really worried about being alone.
Yeah.
I am loving empty nesting. And I think that as like things are changing in this world and in 2024, there are more opportunities. There's a little bit less ageism. And I think that it's going to be easier and easier. But I don't know. For me, it's another phase of my life that I'm actually really loving.
It reminds me when Don Lemon, who I really like actually, but Don Lemon said that Nikki Haley was past her prime. And that was kind of horrifying. I understand why people got so upset.
That did not go over well.
Yeah. Yeah. Because how old is she? She's in her 50s, right?
Younger than me.
Yeah.
She looks younger than me.
Nobody likes getting sick. You know your body and you know it's happening. You wake up with a sore throat and low-grade fever. Ugh.
So what are your choices? Get sicker and miss work? Then hope to see a doctor this week or head to an urgent care? Wait 2 hours and sit in a room full of sick people?
Nope, not me. I have a smarter option, my medical emergency kit.
When you get your own medical emergency kit, you just match your symptoms to the doctor-recommended prescription in your kit. No waiting to see the doctor. You get well faster. This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home.
It includes doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues like COVID, strep throat, pneumonia, all kinds of infections, including UTIs, and many more. Plus a doctor's guide so you'll know exactly which med to take and how.
Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. You can order yours online in minutes and your kit will be rushed to your door.
And for Jersey J's listeners, we've got a special offer for you. Get 15% off at twc.health/jersey and use promo code Jersey. That's promo code Jersey at twc.health/jersey.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, but menopause.
Menopause, the big M.
It's really unfamiliar for me. I have not yet gone through it. Now, that being said, here's a little TMI. Because of my anorexia, I had not gotten my period in a good 20 years. I haven't gotten my period. So for me, that's not going to change. But I am scared of many things about menopause. One of them being because of all the hormone changes, I know that people in menopause do tend to gain some weight. And for me, that's a very loaded issue because I gained a fair amount of weight in my recovery from anorexia. And I don't want to gain even more, but you know, that's for another time, another discussion. But you know, it just feels to me like I don't know how I'll handle all of those like hormonal changes.
I mean, there's so much to talk about when it comes to menopause. And I actually, you and I have spoken about doing menopause, like our own separate episode on menopause, mm-hmm. right? And we both have a common friend that is an expert in this area. So that'll be fun. Well, I don't know if menopause is ever fun, but I can tell you that.
Yay, fun.
I certainly don't miss cramps. I certainly don't miss bloating.
You mean from your period?
Yeah. But in terms of, it's a weird feeling to know that I, even if I wanted to, I don't even have ovaries. I had them, they had to come out. I had to have surgery. But anyway.
Really?
Can't have
Why?
I had a tumor, not cancerous one, but I had a really large tumor on my ovary. And so they had to take them out along with my fallopian tubes. Anyway, but then I can't, even if I wanted to have a baby, I can't have a baby is weird. You know, it's weird to know that feeling of being all dried up, quote unquote. You know, it's, I associate, you know, having, just the fact that I'll never buy tampons for myself again. There is something kind of sad for me about it. And menopause is not an easy ride. There's so much more that goes along with it than people used to actually even think or give women credit for. It's the hormonal changes, obviously the physical changes, the emotional changes. The sweats alone are enough to make you want to put a bullet through your brain. I mean, it's just not for everybody. Everybody's different. Maybe you will sail through that, but they suck. They really suck. And I'm on hormone replacement now, but I used to have the most horrible pains in my joints. This feeling of constant fatigue.
For how long?
It varies. I mean, everybody's different. You know, some people, I have friends who have gone through it and never had sweats. But, you know, I think it just, I'm not a doctor, but for me, the symptoms of menopause, years for sure. I mean, there's perimenopause and then you're in menopause. How old are you, Jax? 47?
47.
You may even be in perimenopause.
I probably am, but I don't know because I don't get my period. So
I stopped when I was 50 is the last time I got my period. So, which is pretty early, I think, for menopause. Maybe it's average. But yeah, it's a hard thing to kind of get your head around. But I think in a way, it's like kind of symbolic, right? Like it's kind of freeing. Like you don't have to worry about your period anymore. And you don't get the cramps that you used to. So we can like kind of spin it like that.
Yeah, well, I'll need you to help me spin it.
I'll help you spin it.
You have to stick around in my life. So, you know, I was talking to Evan this morning and I asked him, because he's turning 50 in August, and I asked him how he feels about reaching midlife. You know, I think we've been in midlife for a while. You know, I don't know. We're not living to 100. I mean, I hope we do, but... And he said to me that he's really, really looking forward. He thinks the best years are yet to come. And I said, hold on, explain. He said, well, when you're, you know, life goes in three phases. When you're in your, you know, when you're around like, you know, a late teen, early 20s, you're selfish. You're doing whatever makes you feel good. You're building your own life, your own career. You're doing your own thing. But you're not like secure yet. You don't have financial security. You don't know what you're going to do with your life. So there's that fear, right? Next phase of your life, you're totally selfless. You're having kids. You're trying to make everyone happy. You're raising your children, dealing with aging parents, right? And then you get to your, you know, 55 to 70. And he said, those are the years when you get to go back to being selfish, but you have the financial security. You've worked your job. You're in retirement. Right. You know what matters. You know what you want to do. You want to see the world. You have that inner peace. And I just thought,
amen.
God, you're so lucky that you see life like that and that you have that clarity because I'm just living with all this fear of what's to come. And he's living with all of this like excitement of what's yet to come. And I think there's
a real difference. Yeah,
there's
I asked Jeff the same exact question. And he said... Well, I asked him the best and the worst, right? I asked a couple of men, though, the best and the worst and what they thought So I wanted to kind of compare it to the women. But anyway, I said, what's the best part of aging for you? And he said, knowing that I'm not full of shit. And I think not as much as worrying about what people think, but doubting himself when he was younger. I think a lot of that is attached to his career, right? Like, he knows when he knows something, he knows it. There's no real arguing with him. And if he's imparting wisdom to a client or to his son, like, he doesn't have to doubt. He doesn't doubt himself. He is very sure of who he is, what he knows, and sort of there's no insecurity. I don't know. Maybe that's more attached for him to his career. And I said, you know, what's the worst thing like about getting older? And he said, because I'm getting closer to death. I mean, it's literally that mortality piece, right? And it's which I feel too. I don't feel it all the time, but sometimes I, like all of us, I get scared. But, you know, it was a little different. He didn't say anything about the physical changes, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't care if he's he's gone completely bald, which I like.
I asked him, I said, do you compare yourself to younger men? And he said, no, because I know I'm not a younger guy anymore. So there's no point. He goes, but I think I look great for 50.
He does. I'm I can't lie to you, Jack.
I mean, he does.
I mean, I didn't know him when he was younger, but he's doing good.
You know, and that's hard for me too. Evan's always like in shape. And that makes me worry also. Like, if there are changes that I can control, right? You know, I had this horrendous eating disorder for so long because I felt that it was something that gave me absolute control over my body.
Yeah.
But, you know, now I'm in recovery. But I'm facing these hormonal changes that are going to take that control away from me again and do things to my body that I can't control. And he is not going to go through that. And Evan always keeps himself in shape and he loves the gym and he loves going outside and being physical. And I also worry about, you know, you see these, I don't worry about him ever leaving me. I know he loves me. But you see all these older
men with these younger women. Like trading in, and trading in for a younger version, a younger, prettier version.
It doesn't seem fair. I feel like aging doesn't affect men the way that it does women.
Yeah.
You know, but then again, I'm not in a man's body. I don't know. I don't know what they think.
Yeah, but here's if we spin that a little bit. Here's the thing. So I become decrepit. And let's say I stop doing all of these things that prop my face up and my body up and whatever, let's say I become decrepit and Jeff Fessler doesn't age the same way that I do. And he, for whatever reason, becomes more attractive and more. Here's the thing that I know now that I didn't know then. Good luck, dude. Like, I'm good. Yeah. Honey, you do you. Because I know who I am. Obviously, if Jeff Fessler ever left me, it would completely devastate me. But I am not that person who is scared. I am not scared, honey, because I know who I am. Different than when I was. Even in my 40s, and you're 47, I don't remember exactly where I was in terms of my headset, but like now, I'm okay. Like, I don't want you to leave. I love you. You're my person, but guess what? You think there's better, honey. Do you? I'll be back here doing me.
But how would you feel if you saw him? Does he get any kind of Botox or anything? Or you don't have to say. But
Jeff Fessler? Does Jeff Fessler get Botox?
I don't know.
He's not worn cologne ever since the day I met him. Botox. He shops for his jeans at Kohl's. He just wants me to leave him alone. No, there's no Botox in the world of Jeff Fessler.
Look how comfortable he is with all of that. If I didn't do anything, oh man.
Yeah. Well, guess what? Because I don't give a shit either. I'm past that.
It's just not fair though. And then you look at all of these men with these younger women and nobody bats an eye. Like Steven Tyler, I was looking at pictures. He was at some kind of Grammys party. His girlfriend is 39 and he's, I think he's
139 or something. I know.
How about Leonardo DiCaprio? I know. I mean, how about this? When I was in my 20s, I went on vacation with my parents. I was with my dad. We were on some kind of like trolley in the Caribbean going to play tennis. I was going with my dad and we were sitting next to each other. And this couple asked us if we were on our honeymoon. And my dad was like, oh, he loved it. It was like the greatest moment of his life. And I remember thinking, God, that's so unfair. I'm like 22 years old and he's like in his 50s. You know, like it's just, and nobody would think twice. But then you have, Luann was just on Watch What Happens Live with like this young guy. And he was flirting with her. And I saw so many comments like, why would he be flirting with her? You know, like, and she just said, I mean, and she's a gorgeous woman. You know, like, even when, Cher or Madonna, people assume that these younger men want their money and their fame. And there couldn't be another reason. There couldn't be a reason why a young man, a young, beautiful man, would fall in love with an older woman, like a significantly older woman.
My father married a woman, they're divorced now, who was 3 years older than me. I have a sister who is younger than my daughter. And that's for another episode.
Wow. Okay.
We'll get into family dysfunction another time. But anyway.
Yeah. We could have a long one on that.
We could have a long one on that. But anyway, imagine being cool with that, right? Like, he made a choice and it would have been so, I can't imagine my mom marrying someone that was 3 years older than me. Like, that's just unheard of. That would never happen in the world. My father was always with younger women. It was no big shock when it happened. Do you know what I mean? My mother, on the other hand, like, it would have been the Twilight Zone. Never happened.
And think about it. Think about it for a second, though. If something happened with your marriage, I don't think I would ever feel comfortable, as great as it might seem to date a real young man. I think I'd always wonder if he saw me as old and if he was looking at younger women. You know, I don't think I'd ever feel secure.
I don't know. I always wanted older anyway. I mean, Jeff's 61, I'm 55, but like, I always wanted when I was dating to be with an older man. And I just never had patience for anybody that was certainly younger than me, or I don't see myself ever really wanting that. Who knows why, but like, I would go up. So if I was single right now and I had to put in the age range on the dating app that I would date up to, I would probably date to 70.
Really?
Yeah.
I could never be with a 70-year-old man.
Yeah. It just you're old. Younger than I am.
Just a few years. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do think that men have a different sense of midlife. They don't feel, the looks pressure. They don't feel... You know, they don't feel the empty nesting loss as much as I'm sure some men do. But, I think they look forward to the freedom and to the selfishness again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There are good things about midlife, like you said.
I don't even know. Am I midlife? Maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm old life. I don't even know.
No, you're not.
What is midlife considered anymore? What is midlife considered? I mean, if we're going to break it up into three different segments, I'm way past. Right? I'm in the third quarter, baby.
No, I don't think so.
I'm in the third.
And you're a math whiz.
Right, and I'm a math
whiz. I don't think you're there yet. I think 40 to 60 is midlife, right?
I don't know.
No, I refuse to be in the last quarter. No way. Let's see here. So, you know what's also difficult about these years is that a lot of women are in crossover roles. So we're still taking care of our kids, but we're also taking care of aging parents. And all of those pressures leave very little time for our own self-care.
Yeah, that part is definitely hard. The aging parents piece is definitely hard. And both of my parents are alive and healthy, but we lost my mother-in-law and my father-in-law years back, and it was just a bitch. It was horrible. And they were the most amazing people, and Jeff was so close to them both. And my father-in-law died of Alzheimer's. My mother-in-law died shortly after her heart gave way. But they weren't old. I mean, 80. How old was Max? 82, 80, whatever. Anyway, that is a very difficult and heartbreaking scenario. And also, I think, it means that we're next, right? Like, it used to be death. So far away, right? My grandparents were alive and maybe even my great grandparents. And now it's like, once your parents go, you're next in line. It is scary.
It is scary. And I think that's why you stop being such a people pleaser,
Yeah. Well,
yeah. And I think about my mother when I was younger, and I never realized, never appreciated this then, but my mother, when she was in her 40s, my grandparents lived with us. They were Holocaust survivors. My grandfather, my mother's father, I only knew him when his dementia really started in. So I just remember him as a frail old man counting. He used to count pennies all day on the couch. And he thought we lived in Denmark. He didn't really know what was going on. He knew who his grandchildren were, but my mother was taking care of her parents, taking care of her children, and working full time. And I have a handicapped brother. I mean, she was just doing everything for everyone. And yeah. I didn't appreciate it then, but I look back now and I'm like,
right.
How did you do all of that?
Right, right.
You know, but my mother also never gave a shit about her looks. I mean, past a certain age, she started looking old. I used to have vicious fights with her about coloring her hair. The last time I think she colored her hair was for my wedding. I begged her to color her hair. Yeah, she's been gray since.
Oh, my mother is so, I mean, to this day, she's running 5 miles. She is so put together. It's a, you know, I think that I like that part of being a woman. I think my mother does too. So it's not even like I'm still trying to hold on to my youth. Maybe as much as like I enjoy makeup. I love the feeling of like a new haircut, getting my hair colored. I like when my nails look pretty. And I don't know if that's about even youth so much as just for me, just part of what I love about being a woman. And my mother does more maintenance, I think, than I do. I mean, she is on her maintenance game.
Yeah, I like feeling put together. I don't know if it's a woman thing. I like having all that done. What I do think sometimes chasing youth is all the tattoos that I get. I love getting tattoos. And I think
that's honest.
That keeps me a little bit young. But this was
fun. Well, then
I'm an old bitch.
I got nothing.
Let's send us off with what kind of things can a woman do for herself in middle age to make herself feel good?
You can join the Housewives of New Jersey.
Yes. Join the Housewives.
Wait, I don't know if that'll make you feel good internally, but all of a sudden you'll glow your ass right up. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Jen's glow up was, your glow up was like nobody else's. I didn't have that kind of glow up. I just learned to contour better. Actually, people accuse me all the time of changing my face. Like whenever I take a picture or post a picture, people are like, what'd you do to your face? You destroyed your face. Honestly, I did nothing to my face.
You certainly didn't destroy your beautiful face. So
no, but like this is my nose and these are my eyebrows.
Stop bragging.
And like I didn't get, I'm just saying like I did get filler in my lips, but I didn't change my face. So I didn't really have the glow up that you had.
It was a different face. I have a completely different face and I lost all this
different
weight.
Different face,
and
different body, just so super glam. Like I was looking at a picture of you. Somebody asked me what plastic surgeon you went to. And I said, look at her before and after. So I went to your Instagram page and I scrolled down to the bottom and I took a picture from like,
oh, I didn't delete those
years ago.
Thanks for reminding me I should delete those.
Sorry, I'm a little bit of a stalker. And then I went back up to the top and I was like, that's the same person. They were like, no, it's not. I said, same person.
Yeah.
And they took your doctor's number. Yeah.
It was so that's crazy. My advice. I mean, so get yourself on reality TV.
But yeah. No.
I don't mean it.
But really, take the time, and I have to remind myself of this sometimes. Like right now, I have a son whose knee, he broke his tibia, and he's a non-weight bearing, so he can't walk by himself. So I've been doing just absolutely every single thing for him. And so I haven't breathed because I still have the other three kids and like four different like gig jobs. And I haven't stopped. And I thought to myself, what if this was my life forever? How would I ever take time for myself? Because I had to, you know, everything I've wanted to do for myself for the past few weeks, I've put aside or I've canceled. And I think you really, really, it's important to carve out that time for yourself, even if it's just a little bit. Go for a drive by yourself. Go for a walk by yourself. See your friends. You know, investing in friends right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I love maybe the whole empty nesting, like lots and lots of time for me. I got lots of Jen time.
That's true. I guess that's the good part about it. Yeah.
I like it too much, probably. Hmm.
Well, I think that you are aging perfectly.
Right back at you, my sister.
But I only met you a few years ago. So but no, you are not in your fourth quarter. You are supple and beautiful.
It might be my
healthily in your second third.
Yes.
All right, guys.
my young friend. This was fun. I wish we could get, I want feedback. Like, I don't know, you guys, if anyone's listening and wants to, what is the young person's expression? Slide into the DMs or whatever the hell that is. Like, I want to know. I wish we'll have eventually like a question and answer. Like, I don't know how.
Yeah, let's
works
do a live. Let's do a live one. Yeah, we'd love that.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening.
We love you.
Love you so much.
Bye.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.